Yeah, he chose not to stay with my subject because, once again, he really did not know what to do with it. So, I don't know. I mean, Marty handled the possum just fine. I don't know why David chickens out. No, I don't blame you. Nope. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We humbly bow before you in worship tonight as the creator of this world, the sustainer of it, the savior of our souls. Thank you so much that you're mindful of us, that you guide us through this daily life, and that you're mindful of every bump and bruise and heartache. And Father, we pray for those that need it the most at this time, that for one reason or another, or hurting, either for themselves or for someone else. Be the comfort that they need. Be the faith that sustains them. Guide us in our study tonight, Father. May we open the book and see the answers that are there. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. That would help, otherwise I'm dependent upon Austin to change the slides. And this is a Sonoran desert toad, also known as a Colorado River toad, found out west, especially in California. They're one of the larger toads in the United States. They get to about 7 inches. So, pretty good size amphibian. They produce a very powerful toxin and secrete it. And it's so powerful that it can kill a full-grown dog. It can make a human being very sick. Here's the thing, though. That toxin can also be used as a psychedelic drug. Somehow they take the excretions and mix them up with something and smoke it. Now then, if you're going to mix the word excretion and smoke, you're off already. But it produces euphoria. It produces these really strong auditory hallucinations. And so somebody, or somebodies, decided to bypass step two to get their hallucinations and started licking the frogs. Whoops, that shouldn't say just like the frogs. They just licked the frogs. So the National Park Service had to issue a warning about 2 months ago, I think it was. Another type of, don't lick the toads. Seriously? If you can look at that thing and be tempted to lick it, that's like us, don't drink the battery acid. Did you know that owner's manuals in cars 50 years ago told you how to adjust the points on your car? And we are supposedly this evolved, more intelligent society. So today's owner manuals, instead of telling you how to fix something, tell you don't drink the battery acid. Don't eat the Tide Pods. Have we reached a whole new level of idiocy? Is it possible for us to get any dumber? If we need to be told these things, we probably don't need to be left alone. We probably need adult supervision all the time. Because see, here's the thing about warning labels. They are for whom? They're for big people. They're for adults. You have to at least be old enough to read it and reason what is being said. So it's not for the infants. It's not for the toddlers. The warning labels are for those of us that are big enough to know better to begin with. So maybe, and I'm not talking about life and death things, but maybe for some of the smaller stuff, instead of warning labels, maybe someone should just let me try it. And I might just learn something. Now then, I'm not saying we do not teach our kids. And I'm not saying we don't protect them from life-threatening consequences, etc. But to a point, Peppermint Petty asked, what happened to the younger generation, Charlie Brown? It all started with bicycle helmets. Now everyone gets a trophy. Kids don't know what it's like to feel pain when they do something stupid. Stupid should hurt. You know, sometimes you just got to take your lumps because it's the only way you're going to learn. After we put up an electric fence for our little dogs when I was a kid, so not very strong, just enough to let them know the fence is there, my dad did not have to go by every 6 feet and put a sign telling me not to touch it. And he didn't follow me around and swat my hand away. But here's the thing. Once I touched that little bitty one, I learned the hard way that experience can be the best teacher. Because guess what? I never went and touched the one around the cows. You touch the little one and you get zapped. You stay away from the big one. Sometimes we have to take the little hurts to learn to avoid the big hurts. When we explain to our children, there are consequences. And again, not life and death and not spiritual. We're going to get to that in a minute. And then we let them learn the hard way with some of these minor things. We can help prepare them to make good decisions and to avoid the bigger things. Now, seriously, spiritually, it's a different story. We have been called to be like Christ, and we have been commissioned to warn, to teach, to do everything we can to help others avoid sin and avoid the consequences. Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel is talking to God about his prophetic work. And he says, when it comes to defending the city, if the watchman on the tower knows that doom is coming and does not warn the people, the blood's on his hands. So he rolls it over to the spiritual and said, Ezekiel, if I tell you to tell them that the consequences for their sin are on the horizon and you do not warn them, their blood's on your hands. And I'm going to hold you accountable. Matthew 28, one of the records of our commission. We're to go make disciples all over the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So commissioned to rescue as many as possible from the consequences of sin. Mark 16. Parallel to that, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So even our worst enemies, they need to be warned. They need to be rescued if at all possible. Jonah. The big lesson for Jonah is, I do not care how much of an enemy they are of you, Jonah. They're my children. You're going to take the message to them and you're going to try to save them. So we have that commission. We have that responsibility. But there is the flip side to it. And that's why I started with the idea that dumb things have to hurt sometimes. I paraphrased Ezekiel 33:1-8. There's another verse that ends it. And in the middle, there's one that parallels it. To the watchman on the tower, you see the doom coming over the hill, and you warn the people, and they do not do anything about it. Whose fault is it? So Ezekiel, verse 9, you warn them, you tell them everything I tell you, and they refuse to listen. The blood is on their heads. You're free of the guilt. We do our job. We preach to absolutely as many as we can. We warn as many as we can that God exists and He holds us accountable. We warn them that there's coming a day of reckoning when He will return. In the text, with mighty angels, flaming fire, taking out vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. They reject it. We teach as many as we possibly can, not only that Christ is God in the flesh, but that there is a responsibility to respond to that. And here's how you respond to it. But they reject the truth. Jesus dealt with it this way. You go into a city and they reject you. You've done everything you can to reach them. At some point, He said, shake the dust off your feet and move on to the next. So we beg. We plead. We encourage. And yet there are still some in our world who are willing to believe it'll be okay. God is not the same God in the New Testament that He was in the Old Testament. He's loving. He's merciful. He's going to let it slide. No. He told Ezekiel that dumb hurts. That the warning comes and I ignore it, it's going to hurt. Solomon wrote two books contrasting right and wrong, wisdom and foolishness. And he constantly warns his son, if you take the foolish path, you pay the price. There are consequences to making foolish decisions. Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Notice it's not the innocent and uninformed has said in his heart that there is no God. Notice it doesn't say the one without any evidence says, God calls it like it is. He's a fool. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Paul said, look around you. Since the dawn of creation, the invisible attributes of God have been readily available for everybody to see. So that, what's the end of verse 26? So that they are without excuse. So he gets to verse 22, and so he said, God said, you know, dumb hurts. Go your way. I'm not going to rescue you. And he let him go. Paul told the crowd in Athens, there was a time that God allowed ignorance to be an excuse. What time? That would have actually been back during the time of Ezekiel. That if Ezekiel hadn't warned them, God might have allowed certain measures of ignorance to slide. Paul said, not anymore. The evidence is in. We know God exists. He now commands all men everywhere to repent. So here's our text. Picking up in verse 6. It is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. And so one of the parts of judgment is God dealing with others who chose the wrong course of action in reference to Christians and in reference to those who what? Do not obey the gospel, do not know God. Verse 8, dealing out retribution. The God of the New Testament says He will deal out retribution. So it sounds just like the God of the Old Testament, right? These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Dom hurts. And yeah, it breaks our hearts. We don't want to see anybody lost, especially those that we love. And so we weep about it, we pray about it, we invest in them, and we do everything we can to save them. But listen, what I want us to understand tonight is in the end, if they reject the gospel, there is a price to be paid. There are consequences. And there comes to a point that even we, as much as we love people, have to accept that God's patience runs out. And dumb hurts. Could be for us. Could be for those that we love absolutely the most in this world. Our job is to make sure that there's no blood on our hands, that we've done everything we can to save the lost. But we cannot trick ourselves into believing, like many in the world have, that, well, you don't believe like us, it's going to be okay. We live in a society that is lawsuit happy. I go to McDonald's, and this has been years ago. It just gets worse from here. But I order, this is before cold coffee was even a thing. And so I order hot coffee. And the person hands it to me, and I take possession of it. His or her hand is completely off of it. I am totally responsible for it now. And I spill it on myself. What do I do? Dumb hurts. I figure out how not to spill it next time. What's our culture do? They sued McDonald's and made millions. You can sue for anything, and all it requires is me being dumb enough to violate the use of the product. God doesn't work that way. God said, dumb hurts. You're not going to get to judgment and argue with Him and win some lawsuit where He has to let you in heaven. The warnings have come in. The labels are there. We're responsible. And those that we teach are responsible. It's better to learn the lessons with the small things so that we avoid the big ones. Because in the end, it'll save our souls. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, if you've suffered the small consequences of a spiritual misstep or sin, but you want to avoid the big consequences, why don't you respond to the invitation and let us know what you need and what we can do for you. If you're not a child of God, you're playing with fire. You're hoping and you're praying that God's not going to hold you accountable for crucifying His Son. So we stand and sing.